The rider turned towards them, and his thin long face was just as sweet and gentle as that of the knight who carries the children in that picture. "They should be here now, Sir Richard," said Puck's deep voice among the willow herb.
"They are here," the knight said,
and he smiled at Dan with the string of trouts in his hand.
"There seems no great change in boys since mine fished this water."
"If your horse has drunk, we shall be more at ease in the ring," said Puck, and he nodded to the children as though he had never magicked away their memories the week before. The great horse turned and hoisted himself into the pasture with a kick and a scramble that tore the clods down, rattling.
"Your pardon," said Sir Richard to Dan. "When these lands were mine, I never loved that mounted men should cross the brook except by the paved ford. But my swallow here was thirsty, and I wished to meet you."
"We're very glad you've come, sir," said Dan. "It doesn't matter in the least about the banks."
He trotted across the pasture on the sword side of the mighty horse, and it was a mighty iron-handled sword that swung from Sir Richard's belt. Una walked behind with Puck. She remembered everything now. "I'm sorry about the leaves," he said, "but it would never have done if you had gone home and told, would it?"
"I suppose not," Una answered, "but you said that all the people of the hills had left England."
"So they have, but I told you that you should come and go and look and know, didn't I? The knight isn't a fairy. He's Sir Richard Dalyngridge, a very old friend of mine. He came over with William the Conqueror, and he wants to see you particularly."
"What for?" said Una.
"On account of your great wisdom and learning," Puck replied, without a twinkle.
"Us?" said Una. "Why, I don't even know my nine times, not to say it dodging. And Dan makes the most awful mess of fractions. He can't mean us."
"Una," Dan called back, "Sir Richard said he is going to tell us what happened to Wieland's sword. He's got it. Isn't it splendid?"
"Nay, nay," said Sir Richard, dismounting as they reached the ring in the bend of the millstream bank. "It is you that must tell me, for I hear the youngest child in our England today is as wise as our wisest clerk."
He slipped the bit out of Swallow's mouth, dropped the ruby-red reins over his head, and the wise horse moved off to graze. Sir Richard, they noticed he limped a little, unslung his great sword.
"That's it," Dan whispered to Una. "This is the sword that Brother Hugh had from Wayland Smith," Sir Richard said. "Once he gave it to me, but I would not take it. But at the last it became mine after such a fight as never christened men fought. See?"
He half drew it from its sheath and turned it before them. On either side, just below the handle, where the runic letters shivered as though they were alive, were two deep gouges in the dull, deadly steel.